What is faith towards God? You know, early on in my Christian walk, people would say, preach the gospel, right? I wasn't really sure what that meant. I had to learn what the gospel message was. You'd have thought that being a Christian, that was one thing that you would know, right? What the gospel message was. But I had to learn. And I was kind of embarrassed if somebody was to nail me down and say, you know, preach the gospel. Calvin, why don't you tell us what the gospel message is? You know, because the preacher at the time, he would do stuff like that. He'd point to certain people that he knew were vocal. He knew that they wouldn't mind standing up for the faith or whatever, that, you know, because there's some people that won't, and that's fine. But I was always afraid that somebody would know that I didn't know what the gospel message was. It was the death, burial, and resurrection. None of this would have been possible if it hadn't been for what Peter preached, that Jesus was that man that came and died for us, and God raised him from the dead. But the same thing with faith. Faith has always been a tough question for me. What is faith towards God? What does it mean to you? I mean, do you know the answer? Could you put a lesson together that taught people what faith was? I just didn't pull this out of the archives of my mind and say, you know, hey, I got this, and done. That's not how it worked. Because see, where you're at right now, I had to say, how am I going to tell people about faith when I struggle with this question? Just believe and all things are possible. That's all that I heard. Just believe. Just believe. You ever heard that? That's a wonderful saying. Just believe. Believe what? See, that's what always tripped me up about that. Believe what? I guarantee you what you believe and what you want is not necessarily what I believe and what I want. And nothing's more clear than when you take Catholicism and Protestantism, okay? And you take these two things, and you have the Catholics who believe that the Pope is Christ incarnate on earth and that he has authority over Scripture. And then you have a group of people that call themselves believers, just like Catholics do, and they say, I reject that authority. And God is going to say, you're both right. Not possible. Now, I'm just using that as an example. Because anybody that reads or looks in the news and sees things, they're not confused about what I just said. There's a difference between these two denominations, right? So believe what? What makes you believe what you believe? Well, I tell you one thing. Your surroundings, how you were brought up, your personal beliefs. I mean, what makes you you? You're a hard worker. You're somebody that tries to get out of work. Do you lie? Do you pride yourself in taking the truth, telling the truth that you just make a stand that I don't want to be that type of person. I mean, what type of person are you? This is where your belief systems come from, right? What is it that you struggle with that nobody knows? I mean, all these things formulate what you believe. Romans 10:6-17 is probably the easiest verse to go through about faith, okay? And it says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith does not come by a thought of your heart. Faith does not come from a really good laid out sermon that's a lie. It doesn't come from a motivational speaker. Faith does not come from what your spouse believes, right? Faith does not come in what you believe. Because if you think of your Christian walk and you think of before you were a Christian till now that you are a Christian, Isn't there things that you used to believe now that you realize that were totally off base? That you were taught and they were wrong? See, it's not about what you believe that formulates faith. It's about what you hear. Right? We can understand that. Your parents taught you. Your grandparents taught you. Your friends taught you. And you formulated your beliefs from what you heard. That's wrong. I wouldn't do that. You're going to sit there and tell me I wouldn't do that. That's wrong. Your beliefs come from what you hear. Right? You can understand that. And that's what this scripture is saying. But where does the hearing come from? The Word of God. Right? So that's an easy one. Case closed. Boy, I did well. Let's go home. Got to be more than that. Because see, this is me telling you just believe in Scripture. Scripture says a lot of things. So I got to find some way to break it down where I first understood it, and then I try to tell you. So I figure if I can understand it, certainly you can understand it. Right? If I can break it down to where I'm like, I can see this, then certainly anybody would be able to see it. And not me, but God breaks it down for me. See, for the longest time, I was content with the meaning, if it isn't backed by Scripture, say, hearing by the Word of God, then you can call it whatever you like except faith. But see, let's look at this passage a little closer. Isaiah is mentioned here, right? Tying all Scripture to faith, but the meeting point for that is what? Can y'all see it up there? See, he ties Isaiah, which is the prophets, for faith. He ties hearing the Word of God as faith. And he ties the Old Testament and the New Testament together, because this is Romans, and so this is what's preached to the church at Rome. So this is an apostle preaching that Isaiah believed this, the church believes this, and he brings it together in what? Where's the meeting point for what the Old Testament and the New Testament believe? You see it? The gospel. See? That's what he says right here. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. What does Isaiah got to do with the gospel? Isaiah prophesied of a man that was to come to die. And when that man came and died, that ended his prophecy and started the new one. That the church was coming, the church age was coming. Do you see that? The meeting point for faith between the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints was the compilation of what Jesus did. They were looking for Him. They were prophesying about one to come, and He showed up. So they believed in Him because of the gospel message that was preached. Read Acts chapter 2. Do you see where in Acts chapter 2, they talk about Joel, they bring in all that the Old Testament says, they even bring in David. And this brings it all together to the gospel message. Our faith cannot go against that gospel message. And if it does, it is not faith. Period. He's already tied in Isaiah. He's tied in the church at Rome. He even ties in us. And he brings it together, said that our faith, our hearing of the Word of God has got to start with the gospel. Because without the gospel, the Old Testament saints would still be in Hades. Nothing would have set them free. Without the gospel message, we as Gentiles would not be included in that faith. So I was content with this passage. So when I read over it, I just go right over top of it. I don't take the time to really look and dig to look at each word. God in His wisdom says, look. Look what I can show you. Not me telling you that. God telling me that. God telling you that. Look what I can show you. All the faith is tied up in the gospel. You know why? Because if Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead, everyone would have still been in their sins. Our faith has to start right there in that resurrection. And it's what we hear. Peter preached that first gospel sermon. You want to tell somebody how to be saved, you don't stray from that gospel sermon. That doesn't mean that you have to do it verbatim. But in the end, when he said, know assuredly that this Jesus whom you have crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ, and he tells them how to be saved, you don't stray from that message. If you do, you are walking out on faith. That is not faith towards God. The gospel message. Our one and only foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says that no other foundation can be laid other than that which is in Christ Jesus. So He was the foundation for both testaments. Jesus died bringing us this message. And His death gave us the Holy Spirit. John 16:7, He said, "Unless I go away, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Comforter, He will not come." Which on the day of Pentecost, by the sermon that Peter preached, is promised to every generation to come. Acts 2:39 says that wasn't just a promise to those Jews. There's people that'll tell you that. There's people that'll tell you that that baptism, they got water baptized, sure, but it was just for them Jews. He made it clear that it was not for the Jews there, it wasn't for their children, and it wasn't just for those to come. I mean, it wasn't just for the Jews then, but it was for their children and every generation that would come, as many as the Lord thy God shall call. How does He call you? Same way He called those people that day. Will you repent and be baptized? Will you believe in this message? Faith has to start right there. Luke 22:41-42 says, "And He was drawn from them about a stone's throw, and He knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is Your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done.'" Faith towards God is not faith in what we want to happen, but what He wants to happen. Telling us that we just believe is taking us to a place where we think that God will make it happen because He is able to make it happen. Right? What can't God do? What can He do? He can do anything. He's God. But what He chooses to do is to follow the word that He has set out. Right? So, when we're told to just believe that all things are possible with God, then we have statements like this. A conversation I had with a man, and he said, "Oh, but it's the Lord's will that I have this money." Really? That's an easy one right there. "It's the Lord's will that I have this money, Calvin." Be careful. Be careful. God doesn't have a problem with money. He has a problem with greed. And you know what? I'm not sure where I land there. I can look and see when I felt like an abundance, I gave. And then there was times that I didn't feel like I had, and I got scared and I drew back. I don't know if I exerted faith in that time or not. I don't know. I know that when I have, I'm willing to share. And when I have a little, I'll share a little. But when I don't have much, I get scared and I kind of draw back a little bit, right? This is the Lord's will. These are some things that this person who said, "It's the Lord's will that I have this money." Mark 16:21 said that Jesus would suffer and die by the hands of the elders of His own people. That was the Lord's will. That's what needed to take place. And you say, "You can't say that." In the garden, right before He was crucified, He said, "Take this cup away from me." What cup was He talking about? Talking about that cup of salvation He was about ready to drink. See, that brings, "Take this cup from me." Remember the cup that we drank here this morning? Mm-hmm. Same cup. But because of Jesus, we don't have to go through that. But same cup. And He said, "Not my will, but Yours be done." But He said that you would suffer and die, and that was the will of God. You say, that's pretty tough to swallow. But that was Jesus. Acts 19:16 said Jesus was going to show Paul how much he would suffer for His name. He told Paul that. He said, "So that you may know how much you will suffer for My name." That was an apostle. So if we had Jesus, it was told that, and that was an apostle. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "If you desire to live godly, you will suffer persecution." This walk that you're in is going to cost you something. What's it going to cost you? Lives, money, cars, home, jobs, dignity. I don't know. Your life. I would say that no matter what state you're in, something's going to change. Right? Devil don't want you happy. God said that if you desire to live godly, Scripture tells us that, in Christ Jesus you will suffer persecution. But that was back then. 1 Corinthians 12:26, he tells the church that if one member suffers, the whole body will suffer. Your hand doesn't just suffer, it affects your whole body. When I tore my bicep and I could not use my right hand to pick up even a fork, I had to learn to eat with my left hand. Try it. It's like you're trying to do something upside down and backwards. But you know what? After a little while, you can do it. And so I remind myself every once in a while, and I'll eat with my left hand. You ever notice that? No. But I'll remind myself of the limitations that we have in the flesh, and I will do things with my left hand. Just so I don't forget, in case it ever happens again, or something happens again, and I can't use my right hand, my right arm. One member suffers, the whole body will suffer. And you say, well, gosh, that was the early church. 2 Corinthians 1:6 says, the same sufferings that we also suffer. He's telling the church there, he says, the same thing that the apostles go through, the church will go through. The same sufferings that the church goes through, that the apostles went through, the church will go through. Right? 1 Peter 3:17. If you want to know about the will of God, it is the will of God to suffer for good than to succumb to evil. It's the Lord's will that I have this money. My faith tells me it's the Lord's will that I have this money. Reading, that tells me that's not faith. Reading tells me that my walk will cost me something. Whatever is closest and dearest to me, I have to evaluate. Satan knows what it's going to take to make you want to give up on that walk. Hebrews 11:1-2 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good testimony. Faith is evidence. Did you realize that? Faith is evidence. And it's evidence because faith is something that's not seen. So it's evidence that there is faith. If you could see everything, then it wouldn't be faith, would it? The very fact that you can't see the resurrected Christ and you have to see it through Scripture's evidence, that's faith. Do you believe that Jesus raised from the dead? I do. Why do you believe that? Did you see it? No. The evidence is that you have not seen it, yet you believe it. So that is evidence that you have faith. We all build on our faith. We all grow in our faith. So there's a lot of things that we don't know yet. But remember what I said. It starts with that gospel. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that He died for you and was raised from the dead? That's the gospel message. Do you believe this? Your faith is on a good foundation. Faith is not a feeling that we believe because we believe in God. I believe in God, so I have faith. I just got to have faith. Everything will work out just fine. I got to have faith. I'm running late, and I go outside, and Lord, I know my car is going to start, and I go out there. Like, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me. Wouldn't start. So I had to back my truck up, text my boss, hey, my vehicle won't start, I may be late. Right? So I back the truck up, have to pull her, go get her key, wake her up, get the fob from her, back the car out, take the jumper cables out, start it up, put the car back in, give her the fob so I don't drive off with her only way to get to work, shut the garage door, and then get in my car and leave. My faith would have been that when I woke up this morning, my car would have at least started so I could go to work. Nevertheless, the faith that I can continue to hold on to my job, but at least my car would start so I could get there. So ever since that, you know what I did? Now, I got a stick, so five-speed, and so I back in to the driveway. Because those of you who know how to drive a stick, if your car won't start, you know what you can do? You can roll and pop it. Now, is that a lack of faith on my part? The Bible says that when Jesus saw the crowd, He asked them to prepare a boat for them in case the crowd got to be too much and He could get in the boat and He wouldn't be crushed. Lack of faith on His part? No, no, no. He lives in this world. So do you. Faith is not a feeling because we believe in God. No, faith is not a feeling that because we believe in God and that He raised Jesus from the dead, He is certainly able to satisfy our simple desires and requests. I said that before. Isn't God able to do what He wants to do? What can God not do? There's something that you need. Can He give it to you? He is able to do this. I mean, nothing is too great for Him, right? Faith is seeing Scripture as not simply children's stories, parables of good deeds, or suggestions for a moral life in the eyes of your conscience. And that's what a lot of people see the Bible as. It's a guide. It's more or less a route that we can take. And so they look at Noah and the animals fitting on this ark and him gathering all this stuff together as a children's story to inspire a young child's mind. You'd be surprised how many Christians don't actually believe that Noah and the ark and the flood actually happened. They see this as just a story. You'll never get real faith from this. You need to see Scripture as evidence, not feelings, to base your faith on. When you read, you need to realize that this man, he actually existed. What God said happened, actually happened. You need to see faith as something to base, Scripture is something to base your faith on. Evidence. Real evidence. Not a lot of people see that. They're taught that their feelings are faith. It's a lot to read right here, but this ties in works, faith. You see, this stuff builds on one another. You can't have one without the other, right? You can't continue in dead works and say that you have faith. You're not going to be able to do works that are alive if you don't have faith in a God who raises from the dead. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 through 10. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. That's how their faith grew. There was a time when you're younger and you're up here, it's about the teaching, right? I mean, you try to make sure that you teach a good lesson. You try to make sure that you remember, you quote things right and you speak coherently and all this kind of stuff. And then after a while, you realize it's about each other. Somewhere that just clicks. It's about each other. I wouldn't be here without you, and you wouldn't be here without somebody to teach you. About each other. And that's what he says, that their faith grew because of the love that abounded towards each other. Verse 4, so that we ourselves boast of among you the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations which you endure. See, here was a church that was persecuted, went through tribulations, produced patience in them, and the apostles boasted to the other people, the other churches, that their faith was growing because of what they were going through. Because they were being persecuted, because of the tribulations, and because of the patience. Right? And the apostle said, this is evidence that their faith is growing. It's the Lord's will that I have this money. Verse 5, which is manifest evidence. You want evidence that you're a Christian? You want evidence that you're on the right track? Everything ain't going great for you in your life. These things that we pray for, they bring us together so that we look towards God to answer things that we have no control over. And we believe that He hears us. We believe that He is going to do what He wants to do in this situation, and we will be fine with that. But the honesty is that we're not really fine with that. We still want certain things. That means that our faith is still growing. Right? Manifest evidence. Tribulations, persecutions, patience among the churches. Manifest evidence of the righteous judgments of God. That you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you suffer. Wow. We suffer for the kingdom of God. How fair is that? What about Jesus? He suffered for you to bring in this kingdom that you're setting in. And we believed He did a good thing, right? We believe that He was faithful because He didn't give up on God. Verse 6, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. See, now we're talking. All these things that came upon you is the same things that came upon Him. And Him, when He returns, I can guarantee you this. He's not coming back to be a humble servant to be knocked around by this world anymore. He is bringing judgment. And He tells us that every hair on our head is numbered. And He says He saves our tears in a bottle. This is what the world has done to us. And He says that I am coming. You want revenge? You let me handle that. You do what I did. I tried to save these people. And there'll come a time when I will repay what they did to you. But until then, you try to save them. Because that's what I did. There's a lot of people that don't believe that Jesus would condemn those who don't believe in Him. He wouldn't condemn those who've never heard of Him. And that He wouldn't send anybody to hell for any reason. He showed Adam and Eve about the blood sacrifice, the animal sacrifice. How did their kids know? They told them. Whose fault would it have been if they didn't? It would have been theirs. Don't you dare try to stand up before God on Judgment Day and blame Him because your kids don't know about the gospel or you don't know about it. And your faith was based on your feelings, not on the Word of God. That's not something you can condemn God for. He gave you the chance and you chose not to take it. And that's an honest statement. But He tells us right here, talking to those that are faithful, and to give you who are troubled rest with us, talking about the apostles, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Listen to this. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. There's no excuse for them not to know God. They have chosen to turn a deaf ear. And you say, well, what about the Middle East? That's where it started. That is where it started. What caused those people to stop listening to the gospel? They produced their own message and they have taught it generation after generation after generation. That is not God's fault. That is their fault. They are condemning their own children. You can see in Revelation it says that their children will be on a sick bed if you continue in this teaching. You will put your kids on a sick bed, and that's exactly what they have done. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel. Right there. See, this is where faith, remember, their faith was growing. They was abounding towards each other. Tribulations and persecutions were coming. But Jesus was coming to take vengeance on those who do not obey the gospel. There's so much to learn from being a Christian and reading the Bible. None of that is going to matter if your faith is not based in that gospel message. And He is coming to take vengeance on those who do not believe in that gospel message. That they heard about Jesus and they said, I reject that message. I want my own Jesus. And you say, well, that's kind of crazy. I don't know about another Jesus. Scripture tells us that Paul said, he says, I am confounded and I just don't understand how you have turned away so quick to preach another Jesus. It was a Jesus that listened to their feelings outside of the Word of God. Here's what's going to happen. For those who do not know God and do not obey that gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 9, they shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints, to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you is believed. The Word of God. The gospel. Because you believed in those things that the apostles laid out and in that gospel message. Jesus said that I will be glorified in you in that day because you believed in them. When you separate from that gospel and you go off of feelings, you know what? Feelings are a crazy thing. One minute, it's like me and my wife are getting along perfect, and the next minute, you would think we don't even know each other. I don't know where that comes from. Happens to me. I wake up and I'm just mad for no reason. And some day she wakes up and she just wants to rip my head off for no reason. It just happens. You would think that we didn't know each other. Feelings. Feelings. Drive me crazy. Sometimes I don't know how to put them. I don't know how to handle some of the feelings that come. That's not faith. Faith is understanding we're going to have good days, we're going to have bad days, we're going to have great days, and we're going to have really sad days. And God is with us through all of those. Just because they're not good days doesn't mean God's not there. Just because they're really sad days doesn't mean that God doesn't care. Faith is believing in that gospel message. He died, you're going to die, just as He was raised from the dead, so will you. Whatever this world takes from you, I will give back. That's faith. That's what the Word of God says here. Because our testimony among you was believed. That faith Scripture produces in us, the faith that we've been talking about, is able also to produce works of the Holy Spirit in your life. Remember, we talked about gravitating away from dead works to works that are alive. Who you are, what you think, your faith motivates you to do certain things. It's not you that wants to do these. Remember, Jesus said, not my will. The Holy Spirit is working in you to do these things from God. And so when you have faith and you believe and you're reading and you're being taught, the Holy Spirit is leading you into certain things, and they're going to be different than what you thought and what you wanted to do and what you were doing. That faith that Scripture produces is able to produce works of the Holy Spirit in your life, not dead works that were done before. Remember, it is the leading of the Holy Spirit to do the will of God in life, not your will. Faith is the only way to make this happen. Faith towards God, believing in what He said. That's elementary. Of course, faith is believing what God said. But go back to the beginning of what we have been taught before and what we've heard so many times. Just believe. Just believe in anything you want, because with faith, all things are possible with God. And they distort and mutilate the Word of God to their own advantage. So who was the they? That's us. I'm talking about individuals. They don't want what God wants. They want to do their own thing. And in the beginning, it's understandable. It's a struggle to let God take His proper place in your life, to let the Holy Spirit to hear, to listen. It starts with that gospel message. Peter began to preach on the day of Pentecost that gospel message, and he went into the Old Testament. He confirmed who Jesus was by Scripture. He brought up David. He said that David was dead in the ground, but Jesus had raised from the dead. And he said, you put him there. He says, you want to change that? You want to get in a right relationship with God? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. He says, that is a promise that is extended from this point to the end of time. It's never going to change. Jesus died to bring this message, and He died to make it possible. We can't change the message because Jesus cannot die again. He says in Revelation, He says, behold, I am He who was dead, but is alive forevermore. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?